read something in the Reader's Digest this past week that I thought was appropriate for this sermon. Drew Anderson from Tucson, Arizona. He's far enough away to be here to hear this, so that's good. He says, while my wife and I were shopping at a mall kiosk, a shapely young woman in a short, form-fitting dress strolled by. My eyes followed her. Without looking up from the item she was examining, my wife asked, was it worth the trouble you're in? I'm going to talk about temptation this morning. And temptation is something we all face. I think it's perfect we have these young people in the front row. You have a whole life ahead of you and a whole life struggle with temptation. You're joining the whole rest of the crowd. We all face it. It never goes away, and yet how we deal with temptation can make or break us. Today we celebrate these young people here who have confessed their faith in Jesus Christ, and I want to speak words to each one of them that will help them in their Christian walk. I want you to know that when you make a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ, Satan's listening. And you just made yourself a target. That's the way that works. You just enlisted in an army. And you know what happens when you do that? There's an enemy fighting back. He has a name. And he has you in his sights. Temptation is coming. And actually, I know that it's already come, and you understand that. It'll keep coming. And I want to help you understand what temptation is and how to deal with it. And oh, by the way, the rest of you can listen in this morning, because I imagine you probably face temptation too. Just a hunch. We're continuing in our look at the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. This is going to be fun for us because it's going to be real easy to know where we're going to be. First book of the Bible, Genesis. Last week we left Joseph in pretty bad shape. His brothers had changed their mind from murdering him to selling him into slavery. That could give you a bad day. And now we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 39, and we find him as the slave of Potiphar, who was the captain of the king's bodyguard. I'll not read the text again. Jenny did a beautiful job reading that this morning. But if you want to open your Bible to Genesis 39 and follow along with what I'm saying this morning, that might be fun for you. You also notice in the middle of your bulletin, there is a little light blue insert here. And that will give you a basic outline of what I'm talking about this morning. You turn that over. There's application questions that you can use in your daily devotions this week. Maybe call up friends and neighbors, ask them the questions, see what kind of answer. I don't know. I just ask that you don't make paper airplanes out of it, that's all. Anyhow, the first thing I want us to note about temptation is that it does not mean that we're out of God's favor. There are times, I think, that we are tempted when we think, you know, I'm a Christian. I've decided to follow Christ. I made a good choice, you know, doing the right thing. Why am I getting bombarded with all this temptation? Is God upset at me? What's going on? Well, this look into the life of Joseph tells us much about overcoming temptation. And Joseph struggled with very real temptation, and he was victorious. Again, just a little plug in here, a little reminder for those that have a real hard time reading the Old Testament. There's a reason why we have all of Scripture. Every last word is important. We read these characters in the Old Testament, wow, they were thousands of years ago. I want to live in the now. You know what? You want to live victoriously in the now? Learn how people back then were victorious. You want to overcome temptation? A great way to do it is look at someone who actually did it. And that's Joseph. What a great example. He struggled with very real temptation and was victorious. Now, we talked about how Joseph was given a divine dream, how he would be a ruler over others, even including his own family. Now he's a slave. It had been very easy for Joseph to say, you know, God, I think you got mixed up. I was supposed to be a ruler. Now I'm the very opposite of being a ruler. I'm a slave. This isn't working out too good here. But verse 2 tells us whether or not Joseph is in God's favor. even as a slave. Read it. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. What a wonderful phrase. The Lord was with Joseph. And I got to tell you, as you live the Christian life, God never promised you you'll not have troubles. He says, I'll be with you. And here it is, all the way back in Genesis 39, it says the Lord was with Joseph. Well, I tell you, I like that. I know I'm not going to be exempted from temptation, but I like the idea that the Lord is going to be with me to get me through it. I know I'm going to have troubles, but the Lord is going to be with me to bring me through them. Being a slave, I can assure you, was not part of Joseph's plan, but it was part of God's. And to make matters worse, Joseph is daily tempted by the seduction of his master's wife. Didn't mean that Joseph was out of favor with God. Both before and after the temptation, the words say, and God was with Joseph. We all struggle with temptation. Anyone who's here, you would say, I've never struggled with temptation. You not only struggle with temptation, you struggle with being honest. We often think that if we're tempted so strongly, surely God is not pleased with us. That couldn't be further from the truth. Hebrews 4:15, what a great verse. Talking about Jesus our Savior, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Again, why do we read about the life of Christ? You need to read about the one who was victorious for you and learn from his example. As the Union Pacific Railroad was being constructed, an elaborate trestle bridge was built across a large canyon in the west. Wanting to test the bridge, the builder loaded a train with enough extra cars and equipment to double its normal payload. The train was then driven to the middle of the bridge where it stayed an entire day, and one worker asked, are you trying to break this bridge? No, the builder replied, I'm trying to prove that the bridge won't break. In the same way, the temptations Jesus faced weren't designed to see if he would sin, but to prove that he couldn't. And I would say to any of you here, if Satan is tempting you, it does not mean that God is not pleased with you. It means that Satan wants to destroy you, and it means that you're somebody that's worth destroying. You ever think of it that way? If Satan wants to destroy you, it means you're actually doing something for Christ and he wants you to stop. If Satan wants to destroy you, it means you're something of value that he wants to destroy. Secondly, this morning, I want you to see that temptation is not stopped by just resisting once. Well, if I just say no to the temptation, it'll float away. Not likely. Let's look for a moment, I just realized this as I read my notes. Let's look for a moment at Potiphar's wife. That's probably what we shouldn't be doing. Anyhow, she's quite a temptress. And notice in verse 7, here you see the subtle approach. She says, come to bed with me. Well, I'll tell you, she doesn't really, hint or kind of, bang, right out with it. And I'm sure that she was a woman who was used to getting what she wanted. And Joseph gives a great answer. And I really want you to hear his answer. He says this, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? He doesn't say, and please hear me on this, how could I do this thing because Potiphar might catch us. Catch that? Didn't say that. He doesn't say, how could I do this thing? You might get pregnant. He doesn't say, how could I do this and something else might happen. He says, how could I do this and sin against God? Keep that in mind. In the heat of the moment, we often forget that what may cause temporary pleasure will hurt not just other people. It hurts the very heart of God. And in fact, Satan, when tempting us, tries to get us to forget God completely. Maybe you've heard of a man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Guys? It's okay. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a wonderful German pastor. He was executed by the Nazis in World War II, but he had this to say about temptation. He said, "In our members there is a slumbering inclination towards desire, which is both sudden and fierce. With irresistible power, desire seizes mastery over the flesh. All at once, a secret smoldering fire is kindled. The flesh burns and is in flames. It makes no difference whether it is sexual desire or ambition or vanity or desire for revenge or love of fame and power or greed for money or finally that strange desire for the beauty of the world, of nature. Joy in God is in course of being extinguished in us, and we seek all our joy in the creature. At this moment, God is quite unreal to us. He loses all reality, and only desire for the creature is real. The only reality is the devil. Satan does not here fill us with hatred of God, but with forgetfulness of God. The lust thus aroused envelops the mind and will of man in deepest darkness. The powers of clear discrimination and of decision are taken from us. It is here that everything within me rises up against the word of God." But I love what Bonhoeffer says. He says, it's not that Satan brings hatred of God. We would recognize that and say, oh, it's forgetfulness of God. And think about whatever that special sin that you particularly enjoy. What does Satan try to do? He doesn't say, hate God. He says, well, never mind God right now. Just ignore that for now. Put that out of your mind. Put that old book out of your mind. Don't listen to Scripture right now. Look at the fun you're going to have, right? It's not hatred of God that Satan brings to you in temptation. It's forgetfulness of him. And Joseph, right in the heat of the moment, says, don't you dare. I'm not going to forget God. This action will hurt God, and I'm not interested. I will not do this thing and sin against my God. This is something our modern-day culture does not understand. And we tell young people especially, don't have premarital sex. And we give the reasons. You might get a disease. You might have an unwanted pregnancy. You might be hurt emotionally. If you have a baby as a young person, it might hinder your career. Christian parents, that's all well and good, but it's nonsense compared to the real reason. And Joseph gives it clearly here, says, how dare I do this wicked thing and sin against my God? That's the reason. That's the reason. Now notice that Joseph has to resist this temptation repeatedly. It isn't once and done. And by the way, Satan does not give up on us after we say no just once. He keeps pestering. He keeps coming back, and he'll see just how determined you are to say no. But the longer you resist, you begin to learn how to have a habit of resisting. You develop a habit of saying no to that sin. You create strength in saying no. And when different temptation comes your way, you know what? You know what to do. Charles Spurgeon. Have you heard of Charles Spurgeon? I know you have, because I've spoken of him too many times probably in this place. Get to know Charles Spurgeon. Wonderful, wonderful man. He's been dead for a lot of years, but wrote a lot of good stuff. He says, what settings are you in when you fall? Avoid them. What props do you have that support your sin? Eliminate them. What people are you usually with? Avoid them. There are two equally damning lies Satan wants us to believe. One, just once won't hurt. And two, now that you have ruined your life, you are beyond God's use, and you might as well enjoy sinning. Learn to say no. It will be of more use to you than to be able to read Latin. Spurgeon had a good wit and some good common sense, didn't he? Learn to say no. It will be of more use to you than to be able to read Latin. Thirdly, this morning, temptation is not to be messed with on our own strength. People have the craziest ways of rationalizing why they can hang around and play with sin. And they say, well, I'm strong enough, I can handle it. No, you can't. Just look at one kind of temptation, sexual temptation. You think it might be fairly prevalent today? Just wondering. You have internet pornography, your television. Sometimes you can't even watch TV commercials, much less the movies and anything else that's on. Magazines, I find myself going to the supermarket, see some of the magazines there at the checkout, I just turn them around. I know the next person will turn them back around, I just can't help myself. I don't need to be looking at that. And I really don't want to have to explain to my daughter, explain to my son why they have to be exposed to that, even at the grocery store. It's ridiculous. But regarding this kind of temptation, nowhere in Scripture does it suggest any of the following. When you're tempted sexually, read Scripture, pray, analyze how bad the sin might be, hang around the sin and prove how strong you are. You know what it says? I'm going to tell you what Scripture says. In fact, I'm even going to show you the tools that you need to beat sexual temptation. You ready? I brought them with me. Says run. Flee sexual immorality. Says get your running shoes on. Now for Joseph, they didn't have sneakers, so. And if you have young people, if you get anything today, get that. When it comes to temptation, you don't hang around it. You get out the door and you run. In each and every circumstance in Genesis 39, what does Joseph do? Gets out of there. It says he would not, he refused to even be with her. He didn't sit there and hang around and talk to her about why it wasn't a good idea. He didn't say, let's have a prayer meeting. He didn't say, let's. He got out of there. Get your running shoes on, or sandals if you prefer, and get out. You cannot be victorious over temptation on your own strength. You're too weak. Well, you don't know me, Pastor. Yes, I do. You're made out of the same stuff I am. And you're too weak, and so am I. So get your shoes on and get out. Don't open suspicious email that might have porn in it. Run. Shut it off. Don't browse through magazines in the bookstores that you know have filth in them. Get out of there. Don't hang around the water cooler at work talking with that woman who seems so innocent but's not your wife. Get out of there. Someone once said, when you flee temptation, be sure you don't leave a forwarding address. It's not a bad thought. We're playing with fire if we're friendly with temptation. We will get burned, that you can be sure of. If you have a problem with a particular sin, find a particular person who you can trust and hold you accountable. Say, you know what? I have a particular area of sin, and it may not be sexual, maybe something else. And say, you know what? This is an area that's a weakness for me. I've fallen many times. I don't want to fall. I want you to call me on a weekly basis. Say, how you doing? We'll pray together on this, and together, you and I in the body of Christ, we'll get through this, and we will find strength together. For those of you who struggle with what's available on the internet, they're called filters. Use them. And moms and dads, I beg you, what you can do to help your young person is don't be naive. Oh, my son would never. Yes, they would. But my daughter. Yes, they would. Of course they would. You know why? Because they're made out of the same stuff you are. And they're dealing with the same temptations that you dealt with before. And the best thing you can do is not to be naive. And I'm sorry, but I just don't believe when parents, oh, I know, Pastor, but my daughter would. Yes, your daughter would. But my son, yes, your son would. They're made out of the same stuff that we are. Don't be naive. Don't assume that your child is not struggling with temptation. They're probably struggling, in fact, with more temptations than you did if you look at the world around you today. Part of your ability to help them as a parent is your ability to be honest about their situation. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. For those of you who don't realize, this text here is not suggesting that death is something nice. We don't want to give ourselves over to death, and we don't have to. Like Joseph, well, we can put our shoes on and get out. Get to a safe place, away from the temptation. You know what? Then you can pray. Then you can reach, then you can do all that stuff after you get out of the fire zone. Get out of there. Then be encouraged and strengthened by the Word of God. Then be encouraged and strengthened in prayer and by talking to another godly person who will help you and strengthen you. Not in the temptation. Get out of there first. Angels attended Jesus after he was tempted in the desert. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We read it this morning. I remember, I went to a Christian high school, but one of the verses they insisted that we memorize, it's in my mind probably till the day I die. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. With the temptation will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Pastor, it's too hard. I just can't. Yes, you can. Didn't say it'd be easy, but you can. You get out and you get help. You don't stick around. God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. However, I will tell you, he'll let you be tempted right up to the very, very, very limit, but not beyond it. And he provides the way out. Now, we could say, but I was tempted and I didn't see the way out. You know why? You weren't looking. And you know why I know that? Because that's been my experience. The times I've caved, I say, you know what? It wasn't that there wasn't a way out. It was that I knew there was a way out and I didn't want to take it. Be honest. More than ever before, as believers in Christ, we must be strong in the face of temptation. Our very lives depend upon it. And you know who else's lives depend upon it? The outside non-believing world that's watching you. Their lives depend upon it, because whether you realize it or not, they're watching you, Christian, and they're wanting to see if that faith that you claim and talk about, blah, 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 is actually valid. They want to know if that faith is actually real. And when you cave, you know what they say? Ha! See? He caved. His faith's no good. Christ isn't real. I don't want anything to do with it. More than ever, we need to know how to say no to temptation so that other people will look at our lives and say, you know what? I watched them struggle with temptation to be victorious. And if they can do that, that means God's real, because I would have never been able to get through that. But obviously God brought them through that and empowered them. That's what I want. We need more than ever to be able to say no to temptation because people are watching. Temptation does not mean that we're out of God's favor. Quite the opposite. Temptation is not stopped by resisting once. Learn to say no. It's better than, more valuable than learning Latin. I like that. And temptation is not to be messed with on our own strength. Get out of there and find strength in Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. And I'll close with this passage this morning. It says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know what that suggests to me? This battle, it is a supernatural battle. And do you know how supernatural battles are won? With supernatural weapons, not your own strength. Learn to get out of the fire zone and get strength from our Savior. I want to pray with you this morning with all of you, and for myself included, that we will be people who have victory over temptation. And if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, you have far less of a chance of defeating any temptation. We're all not very good at it, but at least we have Jesus Christ to depend on to give us the strength to get through. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, no time like the present to say, Lord Jesus, I recognize I'm not strong on my own. You died to forgive my sin. I accept that gift this morning, and I want to find my strength in you. That's the choice that all of us need to make. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful example in your word of Joseph, who shows us in the midst of great temptation how to be victorious. Help us to learn to run when temptation comes. Your word says that you will always provide that way out. Help us to be looking for it and to take it. Help us to learn to say no to the evil one, so that when others look at our lives, they'll look at something and say, that's a life that's empowered by God. That's the life that I want. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would draw all of our hearts unto yourself this morning, that truly everyone here this morning could say, I believe in Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of my life. We ask all of this in your precious name. Amen.